So as everyone knows, I live in mortal fear of my mother dying. Literally every day, I'm not bullshitting you, there's like a low level of anxiety and worry percolating about my mom. But alas, she is sick this week, a somewhat sudden worsening of vision. But trust me, trust you, trust we, I think I got that wrong. I'll be on my mom's case to make sure she makes doctor's appointments. And you go to the ER if you're feeling terrible, you know. She looks great and stuff, but she's fairly old. And pneumonia and shit, that will take you out. If something seems really odd or you just feel really lousy, go to the ER. And thus, this episode is going to be a little short. I've been a little bit frazzled. Oh, and I've seen the world's most ineptly done, cheesy, tone-deaf piece of video shit ever. It's that Kid Rock, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Workout video. It looks like it's something Beavis and Butthead would watch and critique. What is this crap? Yeah, why is that guy with the red face wearing jeans and no shirt? Because he sucks. The music in this is terrible. It looks like it was edited with a consumer-grade device by a kindergarten class from 1989. Kid Rock is just as annoying as you think he would be. And as far as Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he of the ever-reddening, ever-expanding head that looks like it's about to blow. Okay, we need to talk about this whole jeans and no shirt thing. Firstly, it looks terrible. You look bloated as hell. You don't look good. The jeans are so tight. I'm not sure if that's an homage to Sylvester Stallone tight jeans in Cobra. And if it is, I welcome that. I mean, the whole jeans thing with no shirt. And also while you're working out, just put a fucking t-shirt on. Or how about this, numbnuts? It's not like you don't have advanced knowledge of these film shoots. You know, Bobby, how about bring some sweats? A pair of shorts, some tennis shoes, a t-shirt. You know, have some options. But clearly this is a fashion choice he's making. And if I was the director of this idiotic thing, I would have lasted one day. It's like, okay, quiet on the set. Alrighty here, Robert. So you're going to put a shirt on, right? Or you're going to put some sweats or shorts on, right? I mean, what the fuck is this? And then we hear RFK, this is MAGA, you're fired. And you know who would have been a much better Secretary of Health and Human Services than Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? And that would be Airplane's beloved George Kennedy. Oh, damn, he died of heart disease in 2016 at the age of 91. I always dug seeing George Kennedy in movies. Rest in peace, bro. And hey, all you listeners, don't forget to shoot me an email now and again and say hi or whatever. My email is George Kennedy. Okay, it's markd@youaremydensity.com. Don't forget, that's M-A-R-C-D. And believe it or not, other than my mom, of course, this dumbass podcast has kept me going, literally, for the last couple of years. I'm still a bit lost and mildly depressed, but I do thank you for listening. I was looking at myself in the mirror. I have to remind myself to never do that. And I looked at myself and in the mirror, and yes, my apologies, this is going to require wheeling out Dennis Miller again. So I looked in the mirror and it's like, babe, I'm looking like David Thewlis after a three-night binge of dodgy Adderall. That one is so obscure and weird, it almost doesn't even work for me. Okay, I thought of the stupidest, most improbable biography title for a book about Abraham Lincoln. You ready? Abraham Lincoln, Party Boy. The unknown story of how Abraham Lincoln popularized the world of raving. And oh hey, future songwriters, and I absolutely hate this word. I never use it. I really don't even want to say it, but it's for educational purposes only. But yes, aspiring songwriters, there's just some certain words that are just so unappealing and unsongworthy that I thought I would share one of them. And that word, never to be spoken again, is queef. No one wants to hear that. Hey, you know when there's like a product restructuring of something or like, you know, trying to improve the product in some way because it's been selling like shit? So they're like, oh, let's change the logo, which doesn't do anything. You know, like after every Apple update, we all say, okay, yeah, that's pretty cool. But every other fucking tweak you guys made sucks. You don't always have to change things. Some things are made correctly to begin with. Shocking, I know. I don't know if it's just me, but on this latest iPhone update, it makes it real easy, for my dumb ass at least, to like remove apps from my home screen. And then later on, I realize there's like less on there. And I'm like, okay, what's missing? And I can't remember which ones are missing. But I recently came across a redesign that literally fucked up every change they made. And it's for, drum roll, please. I guess we got no drum roll. Anyway, it's these gel eye drops, these Refresh Reliva drops. Yes, you know, most of these bottles always have kind of a little pain in the ass plastic wrapper. It takes a little bit of work to come off. You know, so you usually have to, there's usually a separation there that you can open it with. Well, this fucking thing has the plastic around all these different weird crevices, and it's impossible to rip off, and you have to stick a fucking knife through it. Okay, so that part's done. Then there's like this weird little plastic cage thing over the dropper, and it's like super easy to take off. And then there's this red thing that you have to pull to like break the seal so you can finally get to the goddamn drops. And of course, the kicker is the drops come out all haphazardly and shit. It's not smooth. So to the makers of this shit, I say you fuck this one up, dude. So I've been working on a little intro for my movie review segment. Well, not a ripoff. It's very inspired by Guns N' Roses' Welcome to the Jungle. I think Axl will be into it. Here are just some rough lyrics. There's no music yet, but I don't know. See if you like this. Welcome to the movies. We've got lots of treats. On the left is the sodas and candies. On the right is the weed. Okay, maybe I got to work on it a little. Yes, another poo-poo platter at the movies. Nothing has been super exciting to me. I'm still getting regularly blasted, though not in any way as bad as before. But hey, what you gonna do? Okay, so against our somewhat better judgment, and remember, guys, we are talking about me and Buckley. So the judgment level is at a really low bar, but we went to see Crime 101, the new derivative crime thriller directed by Bart Layton, starring, to me, the uncharismatic Chris Hemsworth. It's also got a respectable Halle Berry, though I have no idea why she did this movie. It's also got Mark Ruffalo, and I've been a huge fan of him since the 1988 masterpiece Safe Men. But like lately, in all of Mark Ruffalo's acting, it looks like he's either got a stomach virus or some kind of stomach cancer, or he's got excruciating hemorrhoids. I mean, I don't know him, and I like him, but Jesus, dude, you're doing a little too much there. One of my favorites, Jennifer Jason Leigh, had a small role as Mark Ruffalo's ex-wife. Jennifer's looking old, as we all are, but she's doing it with class. It's like an earned, realistic, and just fucking straight-up cool version of getting older. And the only reason Barry Keoghan isn't completely terrible in this film is because of where he wears a motorcycle helmet during most of the movie, so you don't have to see his face. Back to the movie. It's a criminal procedural, very influenced by the works of Michael Mann, and specifically Michael Mann's Heat. I mean, I'm stretching here, so hang on. Just let me finish stretching. Gotta work on those hammies. But anyway, yeah, I'm stretching here, but check out some of my tenuous as best links from Heat to Crime 101. Al Pacino is Mark Ruffalo. Robert De Niro is Chris Hemsworth. Diane Venora is Halle Berry. All right, that's really all I got. And while Crime 101 isn't like horribly unwatchable, it's way too fucking long at 2 hours and 20 minutes. These Hollywood assholes just do not get it. I mean, the movie has some decent moments of tension and violence, but the movie has no personality. There's nothing really interesting about it. The whole thing is rather joyless. Oh, and oh my God, I just remembered fucking Nick Nolte is in this movie for a couple scenes. I gotta admit, he looks like maybe slightly better than he has in the past, but he still looks really bad. And it's in his voice, it sounds like he's like on the realm of death. Like at the end of every sentence, the voice starts to kind of weaken out. He can barely finish the sentence. I mean, I love Nick Nolte, but come on, baby. A movie like Crime 101, well, a better script would help, but it would also have to be shot and performed as a B-movie, like funky, interesting performances, something with some heart, something weird. So to sum it up, I mean, Crime 101 is watchable if you're a diehard fan of those type of movies, but the movie's underwhelming and just lacks imagination. I came across The Mothman Prophecies from 2002, directed by Mark Pellington, who used to direct commercials, and I met him a few times. Anyway, pretty sure that I never saw this goddamn thing, because I had this thing in my head where I couldn't differentiate between The Mothman Prophecies and The Butterfly Effect, which I actually really turned out to like. I mean, couldn't one of those guys that wrote these movies have chosen, like, some other fucking flying insect? It would have made life a little easier. And I was just in a kind of slow but pleasant mood. You know, like after taking a Vicodin. Just kidding. But for real, I don't know. I kind of just fell for this movie. I mean, 2002 is like prime Mark D period, so it holds a special place for me. And Richard Gere, I mean, the dude has skills and gravitas when he's not being pretentious. Laura Linney is always solid. And oh shit, Will Patton is in it. Will Patton, this guy is my hero. He's super disarming. He can be charming, creepy as fuck. He can be violent, sometimes all at the same time. Kind of like a Ray Liotta vibe in my head. He's been in a ton of both indie and major motion pictures. And he has a very quirky personality, and you almost can never tell if he wants to make you laugh, make you cry, or kill you. I also love the fact that Will Patton has been going bald like forever, and he's in that Ed Harris School of Hair Club where they're like, I don't give a fuck about my hair. Ed Harris's debut was a tiny role in Michael Crichton's 1978's Coma, and he plays a morgue attendant. And Ed Harris's hair at this point is already balding as shit. But he looks fucking great. Will Patton is kind of like the original Michael Shannon. But Patton has layers and layers. Will Patton is still out there acting, and I salute you, Will. Robert Carradine died of the famous Carradine acting family. If I am being honest, pretty much all of the Carradines freaked me out. They look like untrustworthy or like they smell or something. Something's wrong about those guys. Tell me I'm not alone in this. Please. But anyway, Keith Carradine kind of looks like a studly type, a nice guy, you know, the type of guy that would fuck your wife. David Carradine seemed to me like the type of guy who would die in a hotel room in Thailand while engaging in autoerotic asphyxiation. You know, the usual way to go. But I always had a sweet spot for Robert Carradine, in all honesty, a.k.a. Lewis in 1984's Revenge of the Nerds. I mean, this movie is as seminal to my life as any other movie. The countless times I watched this VHS tape over and over, yes, of course there were some sexual scenes, but what kept me coming back was just the depth of Robert Carradine's performance. He's goofy, he's funny, he's sad, he's happy, and he's just all of the subtleties in between. I'll never forget the good times that I had watching this movie. I heard he died of bipolar disorder, and I'm sure he struggled throughout his life. But I hope the end was peaceful, and he will be missed. Okay, some other random stuff, and then see you next week. I saw a Wall Street Journal headline that was either just written with such an elegant insult, or maybe it was just written like it was without that insight. But anyway, the headline was, Congress is blocked from view of Gabbard intelligence. Yeah, you and me both. You can't block something that isn't there, dudes. Tulsi Gabbard has no intelligence. There's no view you are missing. Okay, and wrapping up here, just perusing what's streaming on Amazon lately. And yes, Amazon sucks. Jeff Bezos sucks. And I don't always use Amazon, but for the amount of movies I watch, it's just a goddamn forced relationship. All right away, we've got streaming for free. You know, I mean the fucking Prime membership free, but we got 1986 is Hal Ashby's last film, 8 Million Ways to Die, generally considered a disastrous production with a lot of infighting, and eventually the movie company recut the film. But dude, I love this movie. It's really, really good. Jeff Bridges is awesome in this. Andy Garcia plays a ridiculous, over-the-top local drug dealer. And there's a sweet little performance by Rosanna Arquette. Okay, what else we got here? 2002's interesting Bill Pullman, Matthew McConaughey movie, Frailty. Bill Pullman also directs this one. It's kind of a horror thriller. It's not perfect, but it's totally worth watching. Let's see. Well, shit. Well, Brian De Palma's 1981 Blowout is streaming. If you haven't seen that, we're no longer on speaking terms. I mean, 1989's Wes Craven's Shocker is stupid, but worth watching if you can stomach the unappealing lead actor Peter Berg. Also streaming is 2018's Dragged Across Concrete. This movie affected me in such an odd way. I felt kind of disturbed. That's not the right word, but it just changed my chemistry for a while. Directed by S. Craig Zahler and starring Vince Vaughn, who has quite a bit of baggage, not starting with the ones underneath his eyes. And Mel Gibson, of course, is reprehensible. But other than these two guys, I mean, the movie is just really well done, interestingly done. Okay, lastly, Unlawful Entry from 1992. Dude, this movie is so my type of shit, it's ridiculous. Directed by Jonathan Kaplan. And talk about a dream cast. Kurt Russell, Ray Liotta, the scorching Madeline Stowe. And what the hell, let's throw in some of Magnum P.I.'s Roger E. Moseley in there. I have his autograph. Just watch this damn thing. Ray Liotta is charming and crazy. Kurt Russell is frazzled and losing it. Madeline Stowe is devoted to her husband, but unsure. Briefly, Kurt and Madeline call the police after a robbery attempt. Ray Liotta, the cop, shows up. He slowly ingratiates himself into the family, and he's a complete psychopath. But this is just one of my favorites. So in closing, I know, guys, life can suck. It could be boring. It could be demeaning. It could be traumatic. And this is all before breakfast, mind you. No, but really, it's tough to struggle and struggle and seem like you're getting nowhere and success seems like it's so far away. When you're thinking that way, remember this quote from Willa Cather. Success is never so interesting as struggle, not even to the successful.